Good evening. This is a webcast of services from Kissimmee, Florida, beginning the first night of the Festival of Tabernacles. So we're glad that at some point you chose to listen to this, even though you may not be hearing it as we're participating. But I hope that this does enhance your festival as you listen to this service. We're going to begin with an opening prayer from Rebecca Mosley, and that will be this psalm for that appropriate to this evening, Psalm 134.
A pilgrim song. Come, bless God, all you servants of God, you priests of God, posted to the night watch in God's shrine. Lift your praising hands to the holy place and bless God. In turn, may God of Zion bless you, God who made heaven and earth. Amen.
We have an opening hymn. We're here to be instructed. I mean, obviously the festival has all kinds of elements, but the critical element is that we're here to learn. So this is Psalm 86, verses 11 and 12. Teach me, O Lord, your way. And the psalm was musically put together by, I believe, Stephen Pearson. No, okay. Pardon me? Okay, Bill. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. I want to give proper credit. This is Bill Tucson. But it's going to be performed on the keyboard by Daniel Kaplan. And if you know it, of course, wherever you may be listening, you could be singing along. Again, greetings, Chag Sameach, happy festival. Some of you perhaps are listening in Minnesota. Some are listening perhaps in Connecticut after you come back from the festival. We are going to have some guests here from Connecticut, and maybe when they go back, they may want to hear this evening service since they are not here at this moment, but we expect them during the day. And then others of you are out in California, and you'll be hearing this as you listen out in California. We hope to be out there and visiting some of you at some point over the next few months. We are praying for those who are having to deal with the fiery weather. We lived near the area, which is presently undergoing fire. Angeles National Forest, there's some fire going on there. That was very close to that's very close to where we lived for quite some time. So our hearts go and our thoughts and prayers go out to the people who are having to deal with that kind of thing. Florida is an interesting place to live. Up in Gainesville, there was a fellow walked into a tavern there, and he was very well dressed. He looked like he was quite well to do. But it was kind of interesting because he had an alligator with him on a leash. You know, and he walked up to the bar, and you know, very well dressed man. And he had this alligator with him on the leash, and he walked up to the bar, and the bartender went to serve him, and he said, "Do you serve lawyers here?" And the bartender said, "Sure." So he said, "Well, give me a shot of whiskey and a lawyer for my alligator." That's a okay. Got some laughs and some groans from that one. You know, when we begin the festival, a lot of times it's very hectic right beforehand. And the first thing that comes to mind is you're just grateful to be there. Finally, there's nothing more you can do. The sun has set, the stars are out, the moon is full, it's beautiful. And you're at the festival. You maybe don't know how you made it, but here you are. And there's this feeling that, okay, we're here. And this is a time to be festive. This is a time to rejoice. It is a special season of the year. If you look at the New Testament, Christians are supposed to be in a positive frame of mind. That is not supposed to be unique. It's not just something that's seasonal, but Christians are supposed to be upbeat kind of people. In 1 Thessalonians 5, you know, Paul tells us, rejoice always. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, I should say, I know, 5:16, rejoice always. Why? Why are we supposed to be so upbeat? Well, because we have a relationship with God. God is our creator. He has a purpose for us. If we understand that and we get in step with it, it's certainly a reason to rejoice. Let's go back a few pages to the book of Philippians. And he tells the Philippians in the 4th chapter and verse 4, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So because we have this relationship with God, we are to be joyful. We are to rejoice. Well, if we're supposed to be joyful all the time, how much more should we be joyful at this time of the year when we're actually commanded in the Bible to enjoy, to rejoice? We're in effect commanded to be happy, to rejoice. So we need to be happy at this time of the year. We need to somehow put our cares behind. I've often given this analogy, and if you indulge me, people who go to Hawaii are told, you can come to Hawaii as long as you leave your cares on the mainland with you, you know, or there. Leave your cares on the mainland and come here to Hawaii and just, you know, enjoy Hawaii and leave your cares behind, you know, on the mainland. And that's in effect what we need to do. You know, we need to focus on the meaning of the festival and on enjoying the festival to the full extent. And we are to be happy at this time. And I decided that tonight I would give you 8 reasons to be happy. Not necessarily like David Letterman would do it. I wanted to give you valid, 8 valid reasons to be happy. Back in the first century, the greatest rabbi of the first century, Rabbi Akiva, some of you know that name. You know, he told his people, Ashrechem Yisrael. You should be Ashrei. You should consider yourself fortunate, blessed. The word Asher, which is also a name in Hebrew, the name Asher, it's a common name, Asher. There's even a tribe of Israel with that name. That name, that word Asher, it's hard to translate it in one English word. Fortunate, happy, blessed. So we tend to paraphrase it in our community. You know, over the years, we've translated it as blessed and happy. Blessed and happy. And so that's, in effect, what we are. We are Ashrei, Ashreinu. We are blessed and happy. The Jews have a prayer in their prayer book that they recite on a daily basis. Ashreinu, matov chelkenu. We are blessed and happy. How good is our lot? Umayafa yerushatenu, and how beautiful is our inheritance? Umayafa yerushatenu. Umanayim goralenu. How pleasant is our lot? Umayafa yerushatenu, and how beautiful is our heritage? It's something that's in the prayer book on a daily basis. But certainly at this time of the year, we have that concept in mind: to be happy, to feel blessed and fortunate. The Greek term for this is the word makarios. In the famous so-called Sermon on the Mount, Christ speaks to his disciples, those who follow his way of life, those who are truly connected to him, have a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. And he says that they are makarios. They are blessed and happy. And that is actually a family name in Greek. I remember when I was a child, the Archbishop of Cyprus had that name, Archbishop Makarios. So I presume it's a name in Greek, maybe a first or a name or a family name. And I wanted to go into various reasons why we should be happy, why we should especially focus on that at this time of the year. You know, one reason to be happy is that we have a relationship with God, with the true God. We understand, you know, that there is a God. We know something about God. We are worshiping, in effect, Yahweh, the Eternal. You know, the God who is God, and who inspired his people over the years, and who gave us a canonized collection of scriptures to guide and direct us. We know something of his personality and character. You know, we are ethical monotheists, if you want to look at it that way. And this is one reason why, you know, we should be happy. I'd like to go to Psalm 144. Psalm 144. Here it talks about a nation that is a godly nation, that is based, its civilization is based on God's way of life. It's an ethical nation. It's a God-fearing nation. Such a nation is blessed. Now, there really is no nation like that. Unfortunately, some nations do better than others, but there really is no actual godly nation. If it were true, though, notice what it says in Psalm 144 and verse 15. It says, "Happy are the people who are in such a state." You know, if a community really would be a godly community, it would be a happy community. You know, Ashrei. You know, it would be happy. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Eternal. Happy are the people whose God is the Eternal. So that can apply to individuals, even though it doesn't apply to any nation. It can apply to you. It can apply to me. If we really are focused on God, on the God of the Bible, Yahweh, the Eternal, you know, then we can be consider ourselves, you know, happy, blessed, fortunate. A second reason to be happy is that you're here. You made it. You don't know how you did it, but you got here. Now, those of you who are hearing this message through the week, you're taking the trouble to hear this message. You could be doing something else. You know, there's plenty online that you can be doing. There's plenty you could be doing not online, for that matter, whatever you might be doing with your time. But you are listening to this message. You want this instruction. You've taken the trouble and time to do it. You know, and that is something that you should be happy about, you know, to actually be keeping this festival. And especially those of you who have arrived at the festival site and are here, it's a very special thrill to actually be at a festival site. And the memories come to mind over the years of where you've been. You know, I have so many memories now of places I've been and family time, family and friends. We began the service with the opening prayer from Psalm 134, and that pretty much captures what I'm saying here. Just well, actually, it captures the first point, but I want to go there and then go back to the second point I've raised. This first point, it talks about, "Behold, bless the Lord," Psalm 134, "all you servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Eternal who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion." So you have this relationship with God. You are blessed as a result. But let's go back one psalm. And here we have the feeling of being with other people, who are also keeping this festival. We'll have more to say about that in a moment. I think I'll get right on to that. Okay, you're here at the festival. Well, let's just go to Deuteronomy 16, though, before I go to Psalm 133. I'm sorry, I want to go back to Deuteronomy 16, and then I want to go back to Psalm 133. In Deuteronomy 16, this festival is discussed, and in one of the places in the Bible we're commanded to keep it, and it is to be kept as a festive time. In Deuteronomy 16:13, "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you've gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress." In ancient times, this was the conclusion of the harvest season, and it was a time to relax and enjoy the harvest. and also there are spiritual lessons in that, of course. And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates. You know, if you have a community, make sure everybody is able to enjoy the festival. Make sure that everybody is able to rejoice right along with you, even if maybe they don't have all that you have, you know. We can share around and make sure that everybody's appropriately being dealt with. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Eternal, your God, in the place which the Eternal chooses. Now, originally, there was one place that was the central location, and that was Jerusalem. In New Testament times, God's people have gathered, you know, where they've been able to gather for the festival. We have a very nice facility here. It's not too late for any of you if you're hearing this on a Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. Y'all, come on down. You know, we have a nice facility here if you can come to services here. We have services 3 p.m. on Tuesday. If you're hearing this Tuesday morning, you can still catch a flight and come on down here. Yeah. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Eternal your God in the place which the Eternal chooses, because the Eternal your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you surely rejoice. So the summary of these verses is, as we say in Hebrew, V'samachta bechagecha v'hayita ach sameach, and you shall rejoice in your festival and you shall surely be happy. There it is. You know, that's basically the summary of this. And so this is a time to rejoice, and we should be happy that we're here keeping this festival. We made it. We're doing it. We put other things aside. We've honored God by keeping his festival. And now, third thing I've already hinted at, and that is in Psalm 133, a reason to be happy. You're with people of like mind. You're with people who are reinforcing what your beliefs and practices. You know, we're here in a room with other people that are keeping this festival. And that's very encouraging. That's very nice. As we know, there was a couple in the Church of God Seventh Day in Oregon back in the 1930s, Herbert W. Armstrong and Loma D. Armstrong, and they were keeping this festival, just the two of them, for a number of years, and nobody was joining them in that area. There were others doing it elsewhere, but not where they were. So there was just a couple who were for years, were just keeping, evidently, from what I understand, were just keeping this festival by themselves. You know, it's much better, obviously, when you have people together with you. And many of you who are hearing this electronically realize that, you know, there are others doing what you're doing. Maybe for some reason you weren't able to get away from where, you know, from your home area this year, but you know that as you're doing whatever you can to keep the feast in your area, there are others around the nation and around the world that are keeping this festival. And if you do have the fortune of going to a festival site, and some of you who are hearing me are also going, attending services at a festival site. You know, what you're doing with me is kind of supplementing the services that you're attending. Perhaps in California, wherever you are, some friends of ours from Colorado contacted me. They listened to our services on the Day of Atonement, but then they for the Festival of Tabernacles, they were going to be out on the West Coast. So maybe they're listening to some of these messages in between, you know, they're attending where they are. You know, so you have the opportunity, as I said, to be with others of like mind, and that's just a real thrill. And you're normally you're with more people during this time than you would be during the rest of the year. Normally, you know, at the Festival of Tabernacles, there's a larger number of people with you who have a certain basic agreement with you than the rest of the year. And so Psalm 133, a song of ascents of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. This is what happens when you first come to the festival site. And even our small family here that's keeping the festival here, as various ones arrived at the place where we are now, I was excited, you know, each one arrived. And various the ones who are here this evening. And, of course, when you're among hundreds and thousands of people, there's that excitement, and you see old friends, you make new friends. A song of ascents of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, you know, the high priest, running down to the edge of his garment. So it just flows from the head to the toe, you know, symbolic of God's Spirit. It is like the dew of Hermon, the highest mountain in that part of the world, up around the border of Israel and Syria, which actually is a snow-capped mountain, and the snow melts and it flows, and there's that prosperous image. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. So it flows from north all the way to the center, you know, metaphorically, poetically, to Jerusalem, the capital, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Eternal commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So the opportunity to be together with those of like mind, it's another reason to be happy, to realize that you're not alone in what you understand and what you do. Now, another reason to be happy is the fact that your mind is focusing on God's law. You know, you are not just stuffing your mind with whatever's out there that often gets people very negative and actually it hurts people in many ways and drags them down and depresses people. You know, all the time you see television commercials about depression. And normally the way they want to handle it is with some kind of medication. Those who are meditating on God's law have a joy, have a mental stability, have a sound mindedness. If your mind is focused on the Word of God, it's a tremendous advantage just in terms of your mental state. I'd like to go to the first Psalm. This is one that I know is familiar to a lot of you. And this is where we have this term, Ashrei, you know, which we translate blessed and happy. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, you know, who doesn't get involved in corrupt activities, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Eternal, and in his law he meditates day and night. So he thinks about God's law as he goes through his life. And this really helps him and helps to keep him sound-minded, and it's a source of joy. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Eternal knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So these negative ways, they are negative and they are self-destructive and they're ultimately going to lead to nothing but self-destruction. But those who are meditating on God's law have this tremendous advantage, and it gives them a joy and a happiness that others could sense. They may not know what the source of it is, but I think when others are around us, if we are really, you know, grounded in the Scriptures, people can sense it. And I don't mean because we're thumping our Bibles at them or that sort of thing. It was interesting. One time I was in a parking lot, talking about California. I was in a parking lot in somewhere near Sunland, California. I'm trying to remember the name of this exact town, but it was up a little bit north of Sunland. And I happened to, you know, somebody came over to me, and she was really religious. She was passing out material. So normally I don't say this kind of thing to anybody, but I happened to say, yes, I am a pastor. And I think I did it to just sort of calm her down because she was, you know, trying to feed me with all this information. And then she began saying amen, hallelujah, every other word out of her mouth. Why didn't she continue to talk normally? Well, you know, how often do you want to say amen and hallelujah as you're just talking to people? You know, why do you want to do that? You know, but so you get this sort of religion speak, and that's not what I'm saying. But it's not that. That's not what's going to let people know that you have that peace of mind. It's something that you don't advertise, you don't broadcast, it's just there. So as I said, these are reasons to be happy. Having a relationship with the true God, being here at the festival, being with people of like mind, meditating, you know, on the law of God. And another reason to be happy is because you're doing the right thing. You know, your conscience is clear because you know you're trying to be a good person. You're trying to do the right thing because God says do it and you try to do it. He says keep this festival and you're keeping it. I'd like to go to Psalm 128. Again, Ashrei, happy, blessed and happy are you. Blessed is everyone who fears the Eternal and walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. It shall be well with you. You'll take satisfaction in your work because you're going to work well. Because a godly person does work well. He's loyal to his employer. He doesn't steal from his employer. He's not a lazy, you know, no good whatever. You know, he's a good employee, and he is satisfied with his work. He goes to bed at night. He gets a good night's sleep because he's worked hard that day. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. You know, this is the atmosphere at the Festival of Tabernacles as families often reunite for that time of the year. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Eternal. And so, because you're doing the right thing, you know, this is a source of happiness to you. Now, therefore, you can say, well, now, wait a minute. Sometimes I don't do the right thing. Sometimes I do the wrong thing, or there's sins of commission, where you do the wrong thing, and then there's sins of omission, because you don't do the right thing. You know, there's both of those. Well, the advantage we have is because we're Christians. Now, I'm not necessarily one who puts bumper stickers on my cars, cars. Fortunately, our family does have more than one. But I don't put bumper stickers on my cars to advertise, you know, various ideas. But there was one bumper sticker. There's a bumper sticker a lot of you have seen. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. You know, which there's a point there. You know, we are happy because we know our sins are forgiven. We're not perfect. We fall short. But we have relationship to God through Jesus Christ, especially if we're baptized members of the church. Our sins have been washed away. And if we do stumble after baptism, we can come before God. We have a high priest, as I talked about on the Day of Atonement. Jesus Christ is our high priest, and he does atone for our sins. I'd like to go to Psalm 32. Now, every once in a while, all of us may reflect back on some really bad things we've done or said or good things we didn't do or say that we could have. And we could be bothered by that. And then we realize, well, all right, I blew it that back then, but God has forgiven me for it. It's forgiven and forgotten as far as he's concerned. That's a wonderful thing. Christ has paid the penalty for that. You know, Psalm 32, a psalm of David, a contemplation. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Eternal does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Verse 11. Let's jump ahead to verse 11. Be glad in the Eternal and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. And of course, we're not perfect, but Christ is sinless, and he did pay the price for us. I might just turn to another verse along those lines, and that's in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I referred to this in an earlier message I gave recently, and so I want to actually read the verse. This is 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knows no sin to be sin for us. What a tremendous sacrifice that was. An innocent person, a perfect person, took the penalty on us. Now, why was his death, how could his death atone for us? Because, as you know, God became man. So our Creator, you know, in effect, took responsibility for us and gave his life for us. And then, of course, the man who gave his life was resurrected to eternal life, as we can be. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, that we through Christ can have that righteousness. The righteousness of Christ is now in us, working in us. Certainly that's something to be happy about, to be very happy about. And that's what we think about at this time of the year. We can be very happy about it. Now, there's yet another reason to be happy, and that is because we know the direction of history. You know, we know where history is going. We've read the end of the book, and we win. You know, we understand the direction of history. Now, things, you know, events come and go, wars, revolutions, you know, famines, stock market goes up, stock market goes down. Right now it's gone up again, so, you know, that's, I suppose, you know, we can be happy at least tonight if we own stock because it's going back up. You know, but we also know where the direction that history is going ultimately, that God has a plan, that he's working out what we call salvation history, you know, that history is going in a certain direction, and that ultimately things are going to work out. Not because of technology, not that technology is wrong, but the technology is not the answer. You know, the answer is, of course, a right way of life, but that is coming. that is the way the world is going to eventually be living a right way of life. And so, you know, if we go to, well, here's a verse that I didn't read on the Festival of Trumpets, I don't believe, but it's one I normally do. So let's go to Revelation 11 and verse 15. Revelation 11 and verse 15. We've just recently kept a Festival of Trumpets, which reminds us that God is going to judge the world, and at the seventh trumpet, he will, in effect, intervene and take charge, and Jesus Christ will return and rule the world, and we will have a world of peace and prosperity and true freedom, and we know that's coming. A lot of people believe in Jesus Christ. They believe that he came, and they believe in his ministry. Well, that was prophesied way in advance. So many aspects of his ministry were prophesied in advance. Well, if they're willing to believe that he fulfilled all those prophecies, what about all the other prophecies about what he's going to do? That requires a second coming to fulfill the rest of that. And he has promised he will do that, and he will. And in Revelation 11 and verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, an eighth reason then, I believe I've given you seven, right? An eighth reason then to be happy is that we know the direction that humanity is going in general, but we also know the direction we're going. We have peace of mind because we know our own destiny. Our own destiny is if we are commandment-keeping Christians, our own destiny is immortality as part of the family of God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians, the sixth chapter. 2 Corinthians, the sixth chapter. One of the things we do at this time of the year is we come out of our normal environment and get together in an environment which is more, in effect, frankly, dominated by the church. That's, in effect, there's a lesson there. Because normally during the year, you know, we're not geographically isolated like that. We don't go like some people do, like to some compound. Let's not do that, you know. You hear about these compounds like Waco and all these places. You know, we don't do that. We don't go to some isolated place and sort of shut out the world physically normally. But there are times of the year that we get together with our more of our own kind, you might say, and there's a lesson there. The lesson is that in the rest of the year, while we are out in the world, we're supposed to be different, not like everybody else, not in a wrong, peculiar way, not like, well, what an oddball he or she is. No, but in the fact that we're maintaining a certain standard. And so it says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, not in the geographical sense, but in terms of lifestyle. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So we have the opportunity to be a daughter of God, a son of God, a brother or sister of Jesus Christ forever. And we know that if we're committed Christian commandment keepers, that is our destiny. Let's go to the end of the story, nearly the end, Revelation 21, the next to the last chapter in the Bible. Verse 4, this is where history is going, Revelation 21:4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So we can think about that during these 8 days. So I believe there's enough reason to be happy, to rejoice at this time of the year. So let's do it. If you want to give a title to this talk, you know, this talk is simply Happy Festival, Chag Sameach. So let's have a very joyful festival. Let's really enjoy this festival to the fullest in a right way, a godly rejoicing. And again, be very grateful that we have this time of year to enjoy from year to year. So we wish all of you who are listening to this message, Chag Sameach, happy festival. And to enhance your festivity, we have a closing hymn which is new. We're introducing it now. It's composed by Daniel Kaplan, and he'll be performing it. And it's based upon Psalm 118, adapted from Psalm 118. And as you may know, historically, when the pilgrims came to Jerusalem at this time of year, they would recite Psalms 113 to 118, the Hallel Psalms. They recited in the synagogues to this day at this time of year. And so Daniel has taken from, not Daniel the prophet, but Daniel Kaplan has taken from Psalm 118 this hymn, His Love Endures Forever. And since it is new, to the one sitting here as well as to anybody who may be listening to this, why don't you please, Daniel, play it through, and then we'll join you when we should. But first, play the whole thing through.
All three verses?
Well, no, no.
Okay. Just checking. Okay. One thing to notice is it does have the intro on the top. That is the introduction for every verse, just so you know you have a few bars.
Okay.
Push by.
Thanks very much, Daniel, and some of you will be no doubt hearing these hymns again of Daniel's as the years go by, we hope. I'd like to conclude, have a concluding thought. You know, the New Testament was recorded in Greek, and so, as I said, in the term Ashrei in Hebrew was translated in the New Testament with the term Makarios. In Matthew 5, Jesus, in paraphrasing Psalm 37, tells us in Matthew 5, verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Those who are humble, who are not arrogant, but who are focused on God, as you heard in the hymn, you know, the meek, they shall inherit the earth. And that time is pictured in these festival days that we'll be observing, a time when the meek shall indeed inherit the earth. So looking forward to that future time of millennial peace, we wish all of you who are hearing this, who have heard this message, a wonderful festival of tabernacles. Chag Sameach, all the best to you and yours.